Good morning and Merry Christmas. It's good to have you here the day after Christmas Day to worship, and certainly glad that all of you that are here this morning, and then certainly those of you that are joining us online, thank you so much for tuning in. This morning, I want to introduce to you our guest speaker today, and many of you know Zach and Mariah, but his father-in-law, you may not know, is actually the president of Baptist Bible College on the north side of town. And that's my alma mater where I went to school. And so I asked him this morning if he'd come and preach for us today. And they're actually one of our mission partners that we support through our missions offering and our missions giving every year. And for over 60 years, Baptist Bible College has been involved in training missionaries and pastors and church planters and Christian leaders to go all around the world and make sure that the kingdom of God is advanced. And so he's going to come this morning and open the Word of God and share with us what God has given him today. Would you make him feel welcome as he comes to the platform?
And I just have always felt, every time I passed by here for a number of years now, Southgate has such great potential and opportunity to reach this area. I'm so excited for you and what you have going on here. And I love the local church. Served as a pastor for 25 years before I went to Baptist Bible College. Following graduation from BBC, we moved back to our home church in Albion, Michigan. Not very many people know where that's at. It's in South Central Michigan. And we were there for 10 years. And then we moved to Southwest Ohio. And that's where I began working with NAM, Southern Baptist Church Planning Division, and work with them for several years, leading church planners, training church planners, visiting churches. I traveled all over the country on behalf of NAM talking about church planning, and I really appreciate all that ministry has meant to our life. Our four kids were all born into a world of ministry, and they've grown up in it and understand it. When we moved to Ohio, that's when we really began to see our kids make their deep ties into ministry for themselves. And we have a deep tie both to our home church, but also lots of partners. So for many years, we worked with the Southern Baptist Convention. My brother has a deep tie to that. He's currently the chair of preaching for the PhD program at Southeastern Seminary. We have lots of connections there. Most of our trustees are Southern Baptist pastors. The divisions that used to exist, they're just blurry now. They're just not like they used to be between our Baptist churches. So I worked with NAM for quite a while, and then we moved to a town called Medina, Ohio. It's outside of Cleveland and Akron. I don't know if any of you know where that is, up in northeast Ohio. And it was a very difficult church and Christian school situation. You probably never heard of that happening before, but that church and school was in such a bad condition and such bad shape. But God did some amazing things, and it became a very healthy and a very upbeat, a very growing and vibrant church and school. And it's from there that I learned so much about the inside part of education. And then I took the opportunity to move to Baptist Bible College. But for 25 years, we led very healthy, growing churches. And so now at Baptist Bible College, my job there is to make sure that we're training the next generation to be able to do that. There are not many. This is the discouraging part. It's a difficult concern on my heart. Not many are choosing that to be their vocation. So just it's important for churches to understand. You may be happy now because you have a pastor. Well, who's going to be the next one? Who's going to be the pastor to your grandkids? That's why I do what I do now. do my very best to encourage people to consider ministry and look to God for that leadership there. We've experienced God do some amazing things at Baptist Bible College, from a very, very troubled situation, and it's now today so much healthier, so much better. We're excited about the future. Our academics is top-notch. We have totally revamped that aspect of who we were. Our academics can be compared with anybody, especially and the other colleges in this town and area. Baptist Bible College is not just a glorified Christian school anymore. We're a real college. Ministry is still a big part of who we are, but we've added degrees in education and business, top-notch. Very, very special areas for believers. We have come to realize not everybody is going to be in full-time ministry, but everybody does need to be a full-time Christian. So we want our educators to know Christ and take him into the classroom with them. We want our business people to take Christ with them into that world. And so we're doing what we can to educate them. And just a year ago, we started 100% online degrees. We've never had that before. And now you can get or finish a degree. Maybe you've started a degree someplace. We can help you finish that. And I'm so excited about that. So I am excited to be here. I'm excited to be in town. And you will see us. I'm not pastoring. I am off visiting churches almost every week someplace. And if I'm not, there's a good chance Barb and I will be here. We've been here several times. And we have a pretty close connection here at Southgate. And I wanted to thank you for loving Zach and Mariah. We love getting to come and see them in ministry here. They were both born into ministry. They've got as much ministry experience as a whole lot of other people that I know in the church. Well, I want you to know that they love you. They love serving you here. They're enjoying their ministry here. And I'm excited to see them active, involved in a great opportunity. When Mariah learned that I was speaking today, she kind of asked, "Dad, do you have a good one?" Thanks, Mariah. Yeah. Well, I hope you had a good Christmas, and I hope you know, I noticed radio stations this morning, they've already switched. They've already flipped the switch to getting past Christmas, but I think, can you handle one more? Can you handle one more discussion? Can you handle one more message? I hope you are a good boy or a good girl and had a good day yesterday. Well, today I want to begin by talking about babies. Every day in the world, there are approximately 360,000 babies born in the world. Every day. That means there are 131 million born every year. When a baby is born, families, what do? They shout and they send out pictures and they want everybody to know. They make a big deal out of it. Proud moms and proud dads and proud, very, very proud grandparents. They tell everyone they can about my new baby, my new grandbaby. And sometimes, and this is kind of on us men, sometimes we're not as exuberant as maybe the ladies are, but there is a baby that I do think we can all appreciate. We need to appreciate this baby. I want you to, do you recognize this baby? Guys, you need to know this baby. He grew up to save an entire galaxy from the dark side. You might recognize him. See? That's Luke Skywalker, of course. He's a powerful, powerful baby. When it's time to let the world know, we want everyone to know our baby. And so we present our babies to the world like this, right? This is, of course, Simba, the Lion King. That's right. That's right. What a great king he was. This past year, there were some famous births. Every year, at this time of year, you hear about people that have died during the previous year, don't you? And this was the number of people that died. Well, every year, there's also some very important, famous babies that are born. Maybe you know some of these. Do you know this little one right here? Did you know this one? This, of course, is Her Royal Highness Princess Lilibet Diana Mountbatten Windsor. Did you know that? Yeah. She was born on June 4th, and she's the daughter of who? Harry and Meghan. Yeah, Prince Harry and Meghan. A famous and royal birth. But us in Springfield here, we're like, who cares? This might be a little bit more of interest to us here in Springfield, this TV family right here. This, of course, is Sadie Robertson from Duck Dynasty. You remember Duck Dynasty? Yeah. Oh, we like them. That's her baby, Honey James. But there's all kind of celebrities, and they always put it out there, and the media pays attention to them. But more importantly, how many of you welcomed a new little one into your family this year? Yeah, good. Very good. We welcomed two into our family. Don't you notice this? You might recognize, I always have to find a way to fit them into my slides, but... This is a very healthy, hungry, beautiful little girl, Adeline Joy. And what a great baby she is. Of course, she can say pop, pop, which is before she can say just about everything else. But I want that to be known, right? Babies are awesome, especially if they're your babies, especially if they're close to you. But, of course, at Christmas, we celebrate the most important baby ever born, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. It has everything to do with who we are and what we believe and why we're here. Of course, when this baby was born, the whole world needed to know, right? The whole world needed to be given this information. All the kings and queens, all the richest, most popular, all the news networks needed to know about this baby. Everybody needed to hear this news, right? So they gathered some angels together. Now, this is a famous painting, but I don't know if that's what the angels look like or not whenever they gathered them together. But I can imagine, can you imagine in heaven, they gather all the angels together and they tell them, we have a grand announcement to make, angels. So this is how you're going to look. This is how you're going to dress. And this is what we are going to say. And so they practice and practice and practice, and they get it all ready. They are just waiting. When is it? When is it? We are ready. Just wait. We'll let you know. We'll let you know. And they're finally, it's go time. Finally, they said, okay, angels. And they say, we are ready. Let's go. Where are we going? Where are all the nations gathering? Where's the castle? Where's this great meeting? Where are the kings and queens going to be? Where are we going to make this announcement? Angels, you are going to share the greatest news event of all of history to a little group of shepherds outside of Bethlehem. What? Excuse me? Yeah. Then one of them says, shepherds? Seriously? For the past few weeks, you've looked at some people and some very important aspects of their life and how it fits into ours. So today, we're going to look at a very well-known passage of Scripture. You've probably heard it multiple times through the Christmas holiday. From Luke chapter 2. But if we only understand the story in our eyes, we miss. We have to look at it through first century eyes to get all of the details. You know this story. I could read these beautiful verses myself. But rather than listen to my voice reading these verses, let's listen to an old friend recite. into the birth of the Messiah, God's Son, we meet the most unlikely group of people that should be a part of something like this. On that special night, God sent a host of angels to some men the rest of the world wanted to forget. The delivery, the pain, and yet the beauty that produces this baby boy. He's wrapped in strips of clothing to keep him warm. Now God the Father needs to spread the news. So he sends out these angels, angelic messengers, bright, glorifying the beauty that's within them. There's a dramatic twist in this scenario. Everything is perfect. All the angels and everything is going incredible. And then they go to some angels out in a field. When Princess Meghan delivered Her Royal Highness Princess Lilibet Diana Mountbatten Windsor, they sent a birth announcement to the world. They sent an announcement to every important person possible, all the national heads of state, all the politicians, those with royal blood, of course, to every Hollywood actor and singer, every famous person they could think of, presidents, governors, senators, all the human stars. The famous family certainly would not, they would not send out an invitation to carnival workers, to the low class, to the low income, to smelly farm hands. But the heavenly king operates a little different than earthly kings. Because there in Bethlehem was born the king of all kings, the Lord of all lords, God visiting our planet as a man just this once. One son of God, no other births, no other announcements to be given out. This was it. The biggest event in all of history. But the mayor of Bethlehem doesn't get an announcement. The high priest in Jerusalem is left out. Caesar is not informed. Members of his royal court don't get any news. None of the officials with power, none of the elite, the palace doesn't hear, the temple doesn't hear, Jerusalem doesn't hear. This birth announcement that God gives out goes to a group of sheep herders out in a field outside of Bethlehem. We might even ask, if we understand the dynamics of that first century, we might even ask as well, shepherds? Seriously? So the question is why? That's what I want you to see today. Why the shepherds? Why not more important or well-known recipients of this glorious news? Why waste it upon the shepherds? Have you ever wondered that? Why the shepherds? Why not the media? Why not the high priest? Here's why. Four simple reasons today. Here's why. Number one, God comes to those that are ready. God comes to those that are ready. That's the question for you today. Are you ready to receive what God has for you? In Luke 2, verse 8, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." We don't know much about these men. We don't even know their names. We know that they were shepherds living out in a field, watching the sheep. It's interesting because throughout history, Israel has been led by shepherds. Do you know that? Abel was the first to have this job that we read in Scripture. Then Abraham was a shepherd. His son Isaac was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Moses was shepherding the flock of his father Jethro when he saw a burning bush. David was a shepherd boy, probably in the very same field that these shepherds were. Think about that. David was from Bethlehem and served as a shepherd. He was anointed by Samuel to be the king of Israel while he was a shepherd boy. He went from shepherding sheep to shepherding the people of Israel. And God calls himself a shepherd. We're called his sheep. But by the time we get to the New Testament, being a shepherd is not a very good job. Shepherds made the lowest class of people. They came in just ahead of the lepers. Shepherds were not very well liked or looked on. In the Talmud, which is a collection of Jewish interpretations and writings, leading rabbis wrote this: no help is to be given to the heathen or shepherds. That's what they thought of them. In order to better understand how crazy it was to have these shepherds be the first to know, they were considered ceremonially unclean. They were not allowed to go to worship or attend any religious services. They're not allowed to go to the temple. They were isolated. They were forgotten. Their flocks needed to move around to find new grass and fresh water, so they never stayed in one place very long. Shepherds were always treated with contempt and mistrust and disgust. They were always suspected of stealing. Their testimony was never allowed in court because they were known as liars. Shepherds were known to be brash, bold, and rough. They lived away from society, which made them kind of out of touch with the rest of the world. They were known for their foul language. They were always ready to fight over the smallest things. In their day, they were the gypsies. They were the carnival workers. They were the carnies. I talked about the shepherds many years ago in church, and I used that phrase. I said they were the carnies of their day, and moved on, preached the message. And then after the service, this lady, I had no idea who she was. She was visiting that day. She came up to me and just went, "I want you to know, I grew up in the home of carnies." And I was like, "I am so sorry. I didn't mean to." She's like, "And you are exactly right. They're a wild, crazy bunch of people." So she just started laughing. But they were the outcasts. They seemed to only have each other as their own friends because nobody else wanted them around. But God chooses them. He chooses the outcast to give the message of the birth of his son. The greatest message ever given was given to a bunch of rough, smelly shepherds. We probably shouldn't be as surprised as what I'm trying to make it seem like, because it seems like every time God is ready to use someone or to do something, he finds someone that is very humble and honestly sinful. Think about who he's used. I imagine them being out in the field, and we have this in the scripture. I imagine they were very afraid. Verse 10 says, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Have you ever noticed that's generally how an angel starts? Every time. Don't be afraid. Fear not. That's because seeing an angel is obviously a very scary thing. They were terrified, and the angel speaks to them. The angel calms them down. He tells them he's bringing them good news. Good tidings are news of great joy. The word here for good tidings or news is literally where we get the same word of evangelize. I'm giving you good news. Then he says, this good news will bring great joy. And the word for great there is the Greek word mega. You ever heard of that? It means huge. This is huge news. Exceedingly large, loud, mighty, awesome, incredible news. News that would change the world. In verse 11 through 14, we read this: "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So we read that there were shepherds living out in the fields. They were watching over their flock. Shepherds worked 24/7. They didn't clock in for their 8 hours and go home. They worked constantly, no days off, hot weather, cold weather, rainy weather, sunny weather, day, night. Why does all this matter? Why didn't I take time to do all of this? Because we all begin to think that I'm like the shepherd. Nobody knows I exist. Nobody cares. I sometimes begin to think that God doesn't even know or care about me. I feel like God is ignoring. You ever felt like that? God is doing great things every place else, and somebody else has got to praise and this and that, and I'm just not important enough for God to care about me. This story tells us that God uses people that are of the lowest of the low to change the world. He chose to bring his message through the messed up in order to clean you up. So while they were doing their job of watching the sheep on this very beautiful, cool evening, we see that God comes to those that are ready. The second thing is this: God speaks to those that will listen. Verse 9 through 14. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Why did God use the shepherds? Because they were ready. Because they would listen. They would listen to what God had to say here. Why doesn't God use us more? Maybe we're not ready to be used. Maybe we're not listening. Are we listening to what God is trying to tell us? How often maybe are we prompted, but then we immediately start, and maybe it's just in our nature, we start arguing with God. No, God, I think I want to do this. No, God, I think this would be better. No, I think it doesn't matter what you think. The most dangerous and powerful thing you can ever pray is, God, use me. Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to go? Are you ready? Are you listening? The shepherds were. They were out there. They were willing to listen. They were ready to go. And that's the third thing. God sends those that will go. They were ready. They were listening. They were willing to go. Verse 15 says, so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, and the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. So the shepherds, they hear the angels. It's the most incredible thing. And then what did they do? They went back to sleep, right? No. The shepherds heard the angels, and then they started doubting what happened. Did that really happen? No, there's no way, you know. No. The shepherds heard the angels, and they congratulated each other. Oh, that was awesome, right? Yeah. No. The shepherds heard the angels, and then they thought about it for a while. Let's think about this. Let's just stop here. Let's think about what's going on here. The shepherds heard the angels, and then they voted on it. And then they said, no, we're not a Baptist church. No, we're not going to vote on it. What? The shepherds heard the angels, and the Bible says, and then they went with haste. They went right. They heard the angels. The angels said, go and see. And so they went. They went. They got right to it. God sends those that will go. He knew the shepherds were ready. He knew they would listen. He knew they would go. So they headed right out, and very quickly they found the place where Jesus was born. You ever thought about that? That's pretty amazing. Shepherds were not fast-moving people, but they went right away. They were slow, patient guys, taking their time walking from pasture to pasture with the flock. Have you ever thought about this, though? How would the shepherds know where to find him? How are they supposed to know? It's like, hello, they're shepherds. They herded sheep. They probably headed to the nearest stable to put their stuff there, maybe put their baby lambs there. Just like the angel said, they went to this place, and there he was. They went to where they knew. They went to what was familiar to them. And there he was, a little newborn baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. This is kind of interesting. Some commentators suggest that they were taking care of sheep that were going to be sacrificed in the temple in Jerusalem. Now just think about how ironic that is. The sheep that they were watching might have been the sheep that were going to be sacrificed in Jerusalem. These shepherds left their sheep to go visit the Lamb of God. Think about this. Hundreds of years earlier, a shepherd boy named David kept watch over his father's sheep. in the very same pasture. And now they're looking at the Son of David, born in the city of David. God came to them because they were ready. He spoke to them because they would listen. And God sent them because they would go. The final thought is this: God uses those that will share. God uses those that will share. Think about this. Who would have been more ready? Who would have been more understanding? Who would have been more accepting? Who would have been more comfortable going to see a baby in a stable than a shepherd? Think about this. If God had sent somebody to tell the high priest, go to this smelly, dirty animal shelter, what would the high priest have done? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But these shepherds, they come in. Just think about it. They would have walked in and said, man, nice place. What a nice place you got here. The shepherds were comfortable. This was their world. This was their people. The rest of the world would have never gotten past the smell. But the shepherds wouldn't have struggled at all. A rich man, a Pharisee, a priest would not have gone there. A shepherd was the perfect person to come to Jesus that night. They were the perfect people to worship this baby in an animal barn. They were the perfect guys to come to this young mom and husband and in a place where no one else would ever find them. And I want you to understand, this is just like you and me. Who better to be sent to your friends, your family, your work, your neighbors than you? That's your world. Verse 17 says, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So they made their way, and they came and they saw the baby. And they probably congratulated the mom and Joseph, and they just were like, oh man, that's a great baby you got there. That's a beautiful baby. But then they were off. It was time to go. And as they went, they told everyone they could about what had just happened. These angels came. We came. We saw the baby. It was so awesome. So incredible. They told how they had seen all of this. They had seen the Savior of the world. Verse 20 says, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, or they had heard and seen as it was told them. And so we read, they left. They returned sharing the good news with everybody. I want you to get this thought. It says the shepherds returned. I never really thought about that. You read this story and you read every word. They returned. Where did they go? They returned where? They went back to work. They went back to the sheep. You mean they didn't go on the Today Show? No. They didn't go on TBN? No. TMZ? You know, CNN? They didn't go on a podcast. They didn't make a TikTok. Not even an Instagram photo. None of that. You know why? They went back to work, but they were never the same. You see, once you experience the Savior, you never return the same. Once you see Jesus, you can't help but talk about him. Once Jesus changes your life, you can't help but go back to your family, go back to your job, go back to your school, different, because Jesus changes you forever. The shepherds made a difference in the world because they were ready, because they listened, because they went, and because they shared. Which question do you need to give attention to today? Is God speaking to you? Is God calling you? Is God sending you? Maybe you've been hoping God would fix some things in your life, and then I'll be serious. Then I'll get better. Then I'll really serve God whenever I get through this. Or maybe you want your family fixed. Maybe you want your marriage fixed. Maybe you want your finances fixed. But could it be that you haven't been ready to listen to God or willing to go, willing to share? God will use anybody. He can fix any life that is willing. Let me finish with some very simple life applications. Number one, I want you to know this today. God loves me. God loves me. Like the shepherds, it's easy for us to put ourselves in that place and think, no one cares about me. No one knows. No one cares. No one pays attention. These shepherds, they were pushed away. They were ignored. They were looked down on. Nobody liked them, but God loved them. Today, maybe you can identify as being very lonely. Even if you're around a house full of people, maybe you think that no one really cares, no one really loves you, no one would ever really do anything nice for you, right? But God looked down on the shepherds. The world made fun of them. The world looked down at them. The world thought they were just poor, dirty, low class. But God came to them first. You ever look down on people? You ever think, I don't like to be around that kind of people. I don't like that person. I don't like, they're not like us. They're not. God looked at the shepherds and went to them first. The most important thing we can remember about Christmas is that God loves me. You are so important to him. And every time you see the manger, realize he came just for you. Jesus loves you. Secondly, God came for me. The best present ever is just for you. God has done so much to get your attention. Because he's in love with you and he wants you to be a part of his family. God intentionally chose these shepherds and God intentionally has come to you in your life. This is what Christmas is all about. God coming just for you. And Jesus loves you so much that he left heaven and became a baby just for you. Number three is this: God needs me. God needs me. I've heard people say, God doesn't need us. God, you know what? God will tell you, yeah, I need you. He calls us to do something special. It could be that there is one like the lonely, the overlooked, the ignored, that God wants you to reach out. Is there somebody around you that feels like that? Lonely. Let them see God's face and experience in his heart through you. These three things: God loves me, God came for me, God needs me. The shepherds were in a field, but that field was the right place. They were in the right place at the right time. God had them in the right place at the right time, doing the right things so they could experience the right person, his son. It's not an accident that you were here. This is the right place. God has put you in this place at this time so you can see and hear the story of the shepherds and come to worship that baby just like them. Would you bow your head with me? This morning, this day after Christmas, maybe you are ready to be done with Christmas, and maybe you're ready to just move on and to the new year. But maybe God has given you a busy holiday, a time that you were so busy that maybe you missed him. Maybe you missed what he was all about. Before we leave Christmas and move on to the new year, today, one last moment here, would you look at your life? Can you see that you have responded to God's invitation? Can you see your life? Maybe you need to be like the shepherds. When they experienced the good news, whenever they had their personal experience with Jesus, they went and told everybody. Is that what happens in your life? Have you really met and experienced this Jesus? You know, Christmas is a tough time. Families, Christmas is a tough time in our country. Maybe you do know the Lord, but maybe this has been a tough time. maybe you need to just renew your thoughts, your mind, your heart on who Jesus is in your life. Maybe you need to be a new and better husband, better wife, child, worker, neighbor. What is it that God needs to do in your heart and in your life? Let me pray for you today. Lord Jesus, we praise you today. Through the story of the shepherds, we need to see ourselves. And I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to the message you have for each one of us today. Help me to re-experience you being born in my life. But help me to experience it in such a way so that I can't help but go and tell and share your message with this world. We praise you, God. How magnificent this all is. Beyond what we can tell. But God, you have given us your word, the plans you have for us. Help us now. Lord, I pray for those that are hurting. I pray for those that may have had a rough time and maybe a difficult family situation, a difficult job situation, health situation. God, I pray for some that are hurting right now, that you may bless them, that you may heal them, encourage them, lift them up. Help us all to know, no matter what's going here on earth, whatever's going on in our lives here, that we have a Heavenly Father that loves and cares, heals and fills and guides. God, help us to experience you day by day by day. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray.